Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. Welcome to a special session of Ask Dr. Rhonda. This is Dr. Rhonda Waters, president of the Mutare Group, which is the parent company of Ask Dr. Rhonda, and also an owner of Mutare Hypnosis, LLC, which is located at 60 State Street, Boston. We also work by Skype. The special session today is because today is World Hypnosis Day. January 4th is World Hypnosis Day. For those of you not on the cutting edge of that, it's a day celebrated, and let Bonnie Jackson, who's the other principal of Mutare Hypnosis, talk a little bit about World Hypnosis Day and why it's celebrated. Thanks for being on this morning, Bonnie. Could you tell people a little bit about World Hypnosis Day?
Hi, Rhonda. Good morning, and thank you. Well, it's World Hypnotism Day, actually. The correct word is hypnotism. Hypnosis is the process of hypnotism. But this is the 11th annual World Hypnotism Day, founded by Tom Nicoli back 11 years ago. Tom Nicoli is a well-known hypnotist in our area, and an all-around good guy, very generous with his information, and he decided that that it would be a good idea to have one day a year where hypnotists tell what hypnotism is all about. Just because there are so many myths out there that it's hard to ferret out the truth sometimes. You've been with me, Rhonda, this month especially, when we've had relatives and in-laws that go, oh, hypnotism, oh, yeah, well, that's like voodoo. I remember our friend there at the dinner table getting all excited about hypnotism, but in kind of a not a negative way, but certainly she had all sorts of feelings about it that weren't even founded. She had never gone through a hypnosis session before. So anyway, this
is obviously
the day
a reason for or a usefulness for both, like Tom Nicoli, who was actually my instructor when I took the consulting hypnotism training, the basic and advanced course. I actually, Tom Nicoli was my instructor, so I actually do know him, well, we both do. Part of the reason, as you say, for having World Hypnotism Day is so we can talk about some of the myths and other ideas and, you know, things that go on in hypnosis or are understood to go on in hypnosis that are just totally wrong. It's one of the challenges, I guess, as you note in the field, is to explain to people what it is. But it's come to my attention that almost anything is considered to be new, although, frankly, hypnosis is old, 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 as we know from having studied it, that until anesthesia was actually safe enough to use, which is sometime around the 1930s, hypnosis was, in many cases, the only form of anesthesia that was considered to be safe to be used. The Mayo Clinic was world-renowned for having over 17,000 surgeries done in the 1900s through the 20s, totally with hypnosis as their form of anesthesia. When chemical anesthesia became safe enough, considered to be safe enough to use, then hypnosis dropped by the wayside. But until then, that was all there was. So it was quite, commonly used at that time, but has now, in a way, sort of fallen on a difficult time. But we think that it's actually coming out of that now as people come to realize that their control of your mind is your most important tool, and that's what hypnosis really gives you, is better control of your mind instead of letting it wander about on its own and have, you know, its own bad ideas.
Right.
We were talking about...
It was an interesting thing that you mentioned, control of the mind. Of course, you're the only, you yourself are the only person who has control of your own mind. But back in the 1970s, I remember, I took a couple of courses by the Silva Mind Control people. And at that time, we were so concerned as a culture about the Russians having mind control experiments. It was unfortunate that Jose Silva called his wonderful technique the mind control method, but he would qualify it afterwards and say your own mind control. But still, it stuck in people's heads that the Russians were going to take over our minds somehow. And in popular culture, which is one thing we're going to talk about today, there was a movie I remember seeing, I also think back in the 70s, maybe the 80s, Charles Bronson movie called Telephone, where Russian people, plants, had come to the United States. They'd get a telephone call, spelled F-O-N, telephone, F-O-N, and that would set them into some sort of a preconceived zombie-like trance where they would do bad things and blow up things and whatnot. So, I mean, that was a scary movie. I do remember that. And that all had to do with a mind control mindset that our culture was in at the time. And we love being scared for some reason. And ever since, what, Edgar Allan Poe back in the 1840s, I mean, people have been writing certainly about hypnosis or hypnotic, I would say more hypnotic trances rather than the actual science of hypnosis, which Freud used, was a technique that Freud used in his therapy.
I think that a lot of these cases now are based on, especially if it's for entertainment purposes, which for some people, that's their only knowledge about hypnosis has to do with entertainment. And the tendency amongst entertainment folks is to make the movie entertaining and not necessarily informative or factual. Their goal is to entertain us. So in the case of Edgar Allan Poe, and I'm not familiar with other language things around hypnosis. I'm sure there are things in French and Italian that, you know, go back even further about hypnotism because it came from France, that or was more formally structured in France, so that there's plenty of things go back further and further in time, and that to make things interesting, to even in current culture, there's a movie that I watched last night called Trance, which is not appropriate for children. Well, first of all, it's R-rated. Not appropriate for children, or I would say young teens either, that is scary. But that's the point of some movies, like you said. We like being scared, so part of the point of some of these movies is to make things scary, but not related to the truth. There were some sections in the movie that were similar. They did sort of montages of her doing hypnosis, the hypnotist doing hypnosis sessions, played by Rosaria Dawson, that was similar to some of the things that actually go on in hypnosis sessions. But how the plot played out had nothing to do with anything to do with hypnosis. It was a robbery and a theft and those sorts of things. So that was, how things worked. More like the real thing. And you can't make someone forget something forever, after a quick session of hypnosis. You can't. There's even amongst the highly susceptible, most people want to, it's a way of accessing what we really want to do in our lives. And no professional hypnotist is going to try to do anything that will be damaging or harmful in any way. And if you really could hypnotize people, this is one of the things we've heard many hypnotists say, if you could really hypnotize people and get them to do, bad things for you, it would be being done because somebody would be doing it. But you can't make somebody do something under hypnosis they wouldn't normally or ordinarily do. So it's a difference, just as hospitals are not really run like Grey's Anatomy. Sorry. Legal firms aren't really like, CSI. I hope not anyhow. So, it's for entertainment purposes. And one of the ways we can dispel these sorts of bad ideas among popular culture is something that we're doing at Mutari Hypnosis this month. We're going to have a benefit for combination for the Dana-Farber Cancer and for Union United Methodist Church in Boston. We're going to have a 90-minute hypnosis introduction and stress management program on January 20th at 6:30 p.m. At the Union United Methodist Church, which is 485 Columbus Ave. Anyone thinking about wanting to learn a little bit more about hypnosis and stress management should look into attending. You need to call ahead to reserve a seat. 617-266-3057. Again, that's 617-266-3057. Suggested donation is $10 at the door, and the money will all go to either Dana-Farber or to the church itself. at 6:30, again, January 20th. We encourage you to come out, and it's a suggested donation. It's not required, but it's suggested because we're going to give the money to charity. But if something, you know, you don't have the money for it at this time, we encourage you to come out and get a look, see what hypnosis is actually really like, and then you would actually know something useful. There are lots of people who use hypnosis as a tool. Many famous celebrities have used hypnosis as a tool to help to stop smoking and for weight gain, lots of them. We have lots of information about that on our webpage, which is mutarehypnosis.com. That's mutarehypnosis.com. I encourage people to look at that so you can get some more actual facts about things. Because entertainment people are just in, I mean, they're in the entertainment business, so it's a different thing as opposed to trying to really explain the science and medicine behind hypnosis. Is there anything else you'd like to add at this point, Bonnie, about World Hypnotism Day?
I just want to say that I'd like to congratulate you on your efforts to have World Hypnotism Day proclaimed today, January 4th, by our new mayor, Marty Walsh. It was apparently the first proclamation that he had done of the new year, 2015, and the first time they did the little proclamation, they got the day wrong. It was 2014. But that was quickly changed with some apologies, and through your efforts, now it's on the news wire, and people know about it. Boston is now a strong participant in World Hypnotism Day. And we will be supporting it again on January 20th. As many hypnotists are who cannot have an event today, it being Sunday and other plans having been made. So January will be sort of a World Hypnotism Month. Actually, as far as the movie goes, you know, I thought that was a pretty good movie. I saw that it got mixed reviews. Some gave it a 7 out of 10, and other people gave it much lower than that. CGI, I thought, was terrific, and the way that the camera work went, it was very very confusing as to what was real and what was and what was fantasy. And that actually, I think, was a fairly good depiction of how the subconscious mind can work, and one of the benefits, and one of the tools, were the benefits, the characteristics, I should say, of using the subconscious mind is that it really doesn't know what's real and what's not real. So if you talk to yourself, if you have good self-talk patter to yourself, you can tell yourself that you're a non-smoker. It's you're getting thinner and thinner every day, and your subconscious mind will start believing it. And as soon as it starts believing it, well, you are on your way to good things and good outcomes.
And that's really, I think, one of the main keys about hypnosis is that we have the ability to turn ourselves around. And hypnosis is really a tool to allow us to make our subconscious and our conscious minds align together to reach the goals we want to make. And that's something we talked about on these blog talk programs before, and we'll continue to talk about, is that making these things align is really what hypnosis is. It's a tool to help align your subconscious and your conscious mind so you can actually get the things you want to get done because you can get your subconscious mind out of the way. Quick reminder for anyone interested in learning about hypnosis who's in the Metro Boston area that we're going to have that program for the benefit of the Union United Methodist Church and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute folk is going to be held on January 20th, 6:30 at 485 Columbus Avenue, Boston. Suggested donation is $10 at the door, but please call at least 24 hours in advance to reserve a seat because we want to make sure we have enough seats for everybody on 617-266-3057. Again, that's 617-266-3057. And if you want to learn some more about hypnosis and how it works, please feel free to look up our webpage at www.mutarehypnosis.com, M-U-T-A-R-E-H-Y-P-N-O-S-I-S. Thank you for listening to another session of Ask Dr. Rhonda.